Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everyone. You're with Dr. Harris. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. We are rocking and rolling here today on 8/7/2019. We are here on Wednesday evening, 8 o'clock Pacific time in Fresno, California, better known as Mississippi Fresno. Hot show tonight. We're expecting a lot of callers to call in tonight to give us an update on the school board meeting at the Fresno Unified School District. And it's been a hot, hot day with us today. And so we're just doing it moving. You know, that's you know, we're in cruise control right now, waiting for our callers to call in. Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show resolution to censor trustee Mr. Terry from the Bullard High School trustee, who decided that been doing a lot of crazy things. This brother here, he's a white brother, if I may say that. He's been doing some stuff that we're going to see what type of teeth the school board, Fresno Unified School Board, has to censor him. I'd like to know what they are going to censor. We do have some parents going to be calling in. Just to give a quick piece about what happened with the school board member back in January. He had a situation with student there. Come to find out, this student was special ed student, and watching the video cameras of how everything went down, some type of verbal conversation went back and forth, and this adult, who my understanding is some ex-military, something from the military, I guess he didn't like what the young man had to say, and he walked over toward him. And at that point, the young man didn't know this man from Adam. And so he, you can see in a video, I wish I could pull that video up. I want to pull, let me pull that video up so that all of you can see what I'm seeing, so I don't have to repeat myself all the time. And you can see it for your own self and come up with your own conclusion of what you think happened. Give me a second. I'm going to try to pull this up for our listening audience. But I just want to say, give a shout out to all of the supporters of the Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We like to give you quality shows every night. Sometimes we have problems with the board where the board will not let us get in the back room to start the show. Haven't had that problem lately, but it do happen. So I want to find this video. Okay, found it. Found the video. So we're just waiting for the callers to call in. They're at the board meeting right now at Fresno Unified, listening and giving testimony. Some mothers are very, mothers are scared. Mothers are scared of their children right now going to Bullard. What we're going to do right now is I'm going to go ahead and play the show. And what's interesting about this here, now, a school board trustee is only supposed to deal with policy. That's all. I'm an ex school board trustee myself, so I'm not telling you what someone told me. I'm telling you what I know because I've been on the school board. And when you watch this video, you have to think, like, you know, why would this school board member grab a young man on campus, even if he says something derogatory? You know, there's a process to do things. You know, there was no gun involved. There was no knife involved. I believe that this trustee was just shocked that whatever was said, that he wanted to take it, you know, I'm going to show you I'm bad, you know, type of scenario. And, you know, I don't send my son or my grandkids to school for nobody to be grabbing on them. And I'm pretty sure you don't either. Now, if it's a fight, a confrontation, you're trying to break up something, that's one thing. I mean, we all been in, you know, school and we've seen fights and we're trying to break it up. So, of course, you have to pull someone this way. But that wasn't the case here. That wasn't the case here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the video for you. And I'm waiting on the callers to call in from the school board meeting tonight. And then you can come up with your own thought process of what you think happened. And then also, those of you who want to call in, I'll put the number up on the screen. Call in, you know, let me talk to us and we'll go from there. And so we're going to go ahead and play this here for you real quick so you can kind of see what happened. Now, this happened in January, but there's some other things that took place after January. We're going to go ahead and play this for you.
Fresno Unified School Board trustee caught on camera in a scuffle with a student at Bullard High School. Superintendent Bob Nelson says he wants people to watch the clip and make up their own minds about this incident. CBS 47.
Okay, we're going to play it again for you.
Fresno Unified School Board trustee caught on camera in a scuffle with a student at Bullard High School. Superintendent Bob Nelson says he wants people to watch the clip and make up their own minds about this incident. CBS 47's Connie Tran joins us live tonight from the school board chambers, where a meeting is expected to start in about an hour. Connie?
Catherine, tonight's school board meeting is regularly scheduled. Superintendent Bob Nelson says that he wants you to watch the video and make up your own mind about what you see there. He says they don't plan on modifying tonight's agenda or addressing the incident. We are going to stay here through the 6 o'clock meeting to see if they do mention anything at all. The Fresno Unified School District released this surveillance video Wednesday from the snack bar area of Bullard High School. It was Friday after school, and you can see board trustee, retired Marine Corps Major Terry Sladek, walking alongside his board liaison, Michelle Asadorian. They walk by a student whose face is blurred for privacy. Sladek is drawn in by something the student said. Then he grabs the student's backpack and tries to pull him in the opposite direction. The student pushes Sladek back and the backpack drops to the ground. The student motions as if to fight before grabbing the backpack and running away.
As a parent, that's disturbing to me. If that were my child, I would find that inappropriate to be handled in that manner.
Superintendent Bob Nelson says they are investigating what occurred. The case is being handed to the Fresno County District Attorney's Office.
Anytime our kids are in a situation which is unsafe for them, that is problematic, and so we want to make sure that at all times and in all places we are providing an environment which is secure, safe, and peaceful.
We reached out to Sladek, but he did not return our messages. We also tried to contact Asadorian, who is a former board trustee. Nelson says the student is okay, but his parents are upset.
We were told today that his family was coming in to view the video and they were not pleased with what they had seen there.
Following the internal investigation, if Sladek is found to be at fault of anything, it will be up to the school board to censor him, or voters of District 7 can decide if they want to vote Sladek out. That is the latest I have for you live in downtown Fresno. Connie Tran, CBS 47, Eyewitness News.
Okay, so that's what we have there. I want to see if our callers are calling in yet. They haven't called in yet, so we will keep rolling here. So basically, what we have here is a school board trustee has decided to take things in his own hand. When you watch the video clearly shows you that he was out of line. You know, no school board member has a right to grab on anyone, any child at any time. School board member going on a school on a campus, do not direct staff. You can't give orders or anything like that. You know, the funny thing that happened today, I went to the gym to work out and came home to start the show. And one of my neighbors was like flagging me down, right? And so I kind of pulled over, like, you know, how can I help you? And she said, Did you go to the board meeting at Fresno Unified? And I says, No, I did not. I said, but I have some people there. And she said, you know, I went to Bullard High School. Now this sister is probably about 65 years old. She said, you know, I went to Bullard, and Bullard is one of the racist schools that I ever been in or ever went to. And I thought that was pretty interesting for her. And I'm saying she's about 65. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure she's over 60. Could be 70. But I just thought it was pretty interesting how she, all these years, you know, and she said Bullard is still the same way. Bullard is still the same way. So, you know, I just wanted our followers and our listening audience to see what I see there on the video. So what do you think? What do you think? Do you think a trustee has the right to go on a school district and start, you know, throwing his weight around? I tell you right now, no school board trustee has the right to do that. And what was very interesting about the tussling of the backpack, and they didn't show it, the news had cut it off, but when the backpack had fell to the ground and a kid tried to pick it up and run, this school board trustee tried to step on it. I mean, I really don't understand what he was thinking. Now, so that's one part of that happened in January. Now, that, so I'm gonna say that's part one. Part two, we had a young lady at Bullard High School. Now, understand the context of what I'm talking about now is because we know that the Bullard High School up in past Shaw, north of Shaw, has always had some type of racial racial tone to it. I mean, even you could see it during the football games. I remember there were times when, you know, at the end of the game, how, you know, the two teams would, you know, take their helmets off and they will, you know, walk and shake hands. Every time Edison played Bullard, it was always a fight out on the field. Always. You know, and that was back in when I was 83, 85, when I was, I'm a young man. Not that I'm old. I guess I am old. I got gray hair now. And so, you know, I just think that it's interesting how we are still dealing with the symptoms of this racial tone, you know, here in America, here in the city. It just really bothers me that we continue to have to deal with this stuff, you know. So we have parents down there right now at the school. And so anyway, this young lady had painted her face black and said some nigger words and things like that. And one of the parents, the picture was sent to her. her daughter. And so, and the crazy part about the blackface picture being sent to the daughter is that no one has even had a conversation with this mother in regards to how her mother feels. You know, no one has even apologized. Her daughter was threatened because her daughter was the only young lady that the white girl sent the picture to her. And so then the white girl is trying to figure out, well, you must have sent this information out, because how did it get out? Come to find out, someone, when she was looking at the picture, someone else came behind with another phone and snapped pictures of it. So that's how the picture got out. But this mother has been really nervous about the safety of her child. She's been, I held a press conference with the mother. And I think what I'm going to do is, I think I'm going to go ahead and find that press conference for you that I did for the mother, because it really bothered me that no one contacted the mother to find out how she was doing. Now, the mother goes like 6, 7, 8 months without anybody from the coach or the cheer team, the school, the principal. Nobody has contacted this mother about what has taken place with her daughter. And so what I'm going to do is, I just received a message that Keisha Thomas, which is the elected school board member from the Edison area, is talking right now. So I guess they haven't wrapped it up yet, so I'm still waiting on them to call in. But while we're waiting, I want to go ahead and play the press conference that I held for the mother, so you can hear the mother yourself, so I don't have to keep repeating myself, so that you can hear the mother yourself on what she had to say and how she was treated and how she was disrespected. And she and her daughter is on the cheer team. Her daughter is on the cheer team. And she's scared for her daughter right now. You know, she's always talking about safety, the safety of her daughter, safety of the children there, because of what has taken place here with the little sister who painted her face black. You know, we're at a time right now where, you know, back in the day in history, you know, white people could paint their face black and there really wasn't much black people could do but sit there and take the humiliation. Well, we're in a different time zone right now. You know, you just can't go around paint your face black. And then I'm saying, so what are the consequences? You know, what are the consequences for this little child? You know? I mean, what do you think? Do you kick her off the team? Do you suspend her for a year? I mean, are there some cultural training going? I mean, but I'm told that the young lady that painted her face black is still on the team, the cheer team. And I was just told today that the cheer team had went to camp. I think it was up in L.A. or somewhere. And the young lady who painted her face black and went. So I'm almost at the press conference that I organized for the mother, because I really, 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 really want you all to hear and see what's going on. Hello. Okay, can you call the other number I gave you? Okay, so that's one of the mothers. She's going to be calling in right now. She says it's very heated down at the school board meeting. So let me see. Okay, she hasn't called in yet. We're still waiting for her to call in. But I'm still going to play the press conference for you because I really want you to hear the mother. And one of the things about me, I want people to be heard. You know, you may not like what they have to say or you may disagree. That's okay, too. But people have a right to be heard, right? And I think we're living in a country right now where we're just constantly talking at people and not talking in a conversation where everybody is, you know, can hear and listen. I'm trying to, she hasn't called in yet. Still waiting on her call in. Trying to find this press conference we did. But if she calls in, we'll give her priority first to talk. Let me see if she's called in yet. Not yet. She hasn't called in yet. Okay. So let me keep going. I'm trying to locate the. I think I'm almost there. Okay. I'm gonna see if she's called in yet. Okay, I think that's her right there. Hello, welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. You're live worldwide. We're here talking about the resolution to censor the trustee Terry from the Bullard School District area. Welcome to the show. All right, and maybe they're just listening. That's great. And let me keep looking for that video. Very, very powerful video. We want to thank the Fresno Brown Berets for coming out to support the press conference we did for the mother. A lot of you know that I post a lot of things every day for educational reasons. And so let me see if she's on there yet. She's not on there yet. Okay. But she just called me and she was really like ironic. She, you know, she said, this is crazy. That's going down. This what's going on down here. So we are still, we're still waiting to for her to come on to give us an update on what is this it here? I think this, let me see, this is it. Just bear with me for a minute. Let me see if she's on there yet. She's not on there yet. Okay. Is this Miss Ingram?
Yes, this is she.
Hey, welcome. This is, so listening audience, this is Miss Ingram, one of the parents who is fearing for her daughter's life. She's want to make sure her daughter is safe. As I told you earlier, she was one of the first parents the picture was sent to, and I don't even believe today that the district has really even dealt with this black face piece. And so tonight's board meeting was to be dealing with the resolution of censoring this trustee. Can you tell us what happened today? I've been really like waiting to hear what happened today at the board meeting.
Well, as of right now, there's still a discussion. He's speaking right now. The attorney was giving reasons why they can't really recall him. So many of the trustees, all of them, is number one, is in favor of him. And so the audience is not happy about this situation and saying he needs to resign. It doesn't need to be a situation where we continue to use, so far, $100,000 in legal fees, and this money can go to our children in education.
Wait a minute. What do you mean $100,000 for what?
For just attorney fees, trying to see how they can get him off of the board. And at this point, doesn't look like they can actually do anything because nothing has really been written to remove anybody. And the investigations haven't really occurred with the cheerleaders individually. Right now, everything is on an assumption. And I feel like that's just because they're minors. And because I play a big part in it, I never was contacted. And so tonight when I got up and spoke, I basically said, you know, no one outreached to my child. I'm concerned about safety when they start to perform the game. And so before leaving today, tonight, district had administrators saying that there will be a meeting tomorrow to discuss the safety, because I actually met at a Black parent meeting to say my concern is the safety of my child, because if someone, she gets harmed, all everyone is going to say is my condolence and, you know, come and see if she's in the hospital, visit for a few minutes, and then I would have to deal with her injury or her death. And so I'm saying this is real. This is a reality that can actually happen. There's no need to sit here and wait until it happens. You know, we're dealing with someone that obviously isn't stable. And again, I keep going back to, they never address the Black face. They address the anger and the rage of parents having their child talk to. So me and my child have been silent, and I'm not going to be silent anymore. And you're going to discuss the Black face because that's how it starts, from a video.
Well, why do you feel that the Black face has not been a topic? But so let me back up for our listening audience. We're with Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter show, resolution to censor Trustee Terry. I'm understanding that there's not much to do or the district can do to censor or to do anything or legal action towards this school board trustee. But at the same time, it seems like the energy that's being put into silencing or censoring the school board trustee from the Bullard area, which we all know that the Bullard High School has always had some type of racial problems or something, even when I was a kid back in 83, 84, that the Black face that initiated all of this has not really gotten any attention towards the censoring. I mean, I'm not understanding why the Black face is not a topic right now, just well as the school district is putting all this energy and attorney fees, taxpayers' money, in trying to censor him. Why is there no conversation about the Black face?
It's not a conversation because one of their vice principals was interrogating many Black children without their families, without their parents' consent, and making them write statements and discuss their take on the Black face and the relationship with a minor cheerleader. And so they're not going to discuss because they know wrongfully they were pulling minors in privately and talking to them. So what they decided to do was to remove the vice principal to another school site. And that is how they're dealing with it, wiping it underneath the rug. And I keep going back to the video, and I keep talking about the Black face, because I am no longer going to continue to be silent, because I don't like that they're not trying to address it. And I propose what is going to be the safety action plan. I proposed it because my attitude was, if there's nothing in place, my child will not be performing under any circumstance. And I stand this, the parents have to pay for the girl's camp trip, their uniform, and it is very expensive. So we get no support financially from the school district. But yet we sit here and cheer for the team, the rally, and the parents, you know, the school to have a great time during games. You know, it's almost like a voluntary situation.
We have another caller. I want to see who this is. I don't know, 6080.
Okay.
Just give me 1 second.
I can't believe. All right, Gavin, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
It doesn't make any sense. Why would he send you an ATM?
I know, right?
Photo?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know why they would send this to me, but like, listen to this shit. See how fucking like durable this thing is? This thing could fucking cause some damage to someone. 18 inches, it's veiny. It's got a nice grip on it too. It feels like I'm holding like a really like thick gummy worm. Like you can really.
I just like that it's double ended.
Oh,
yeah, it's double ended too.
Those 5 pound gummy bears, I've seen.
Okay, they're having their own conversation. So we'll get back to the show. We gave them an opportunity. We've been having a lot of white supremacists calling our show, saying really nasty things on the show. And that kind of sound like the same people, so I'm not even going to waste my time with them. But those who want to call in, 563-999-3490, please call in. We're talking about the censorship, the behavior of the school board member. And let's talk some historical pieces here, and then we're going to get back to the mother here, is that Bullard High School has always had some type of racial tension at that school. I remember in football games where Edison would beat Bullard High School. And right in the middle of the field, Bullard wants to start a fight. Now, this was back in 83, 84, okay? And there's this big old riot fight, and then it goes into the parking lot and blah, 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 okay? So we know that the Bullard community has never really embraced black children going into the community because we have to bus our children to the north end of town trying to deal with this integration stuff that has went on in this country. We didn't have a middle school, so we have to send our children to another community who really didn't care 2 cents about our black and brown children. We're just in a place right now, I feel, Ms. Ingram, that we're reliving the past again. And so, you know, when I hear you talk about how your baby, how, you know, you're a citizen, you're a taxpayer, you know, you want your child to be safe. But there's from and what I was trying to do earlier, and I'm going to find it here, the press conference me and you did, because you told me you wasn't being heard. No one is talking to you. Even still today, the cheerleading coach hasn't called you. The principal of Bullard hasn't called you or anything, you know. And so we just, you know, trying to peel this onion and figure out how come black people cannot get the same respect as white people when it comes to their children. Now, let's reverse this for a second, Ms. Ingram. Now, and I want to get your thoughts on this right now. If the school board trustee, Terry, what's his last name? Slay. Okay, if Terry Slay was a black man, okay, let's put this in perspective right now. If he was a black man that went on the Bullard campus and grabbed a white kid like he did in the video, or went into a cheerleading location and made all the babies cry and threatened them, do you think the Bullard white community majority will put up with that?
No. No, they wouldn't.
So then why is it seems to be a double standard here that white people can do things one way and then black people do something? Oh, we got to call a SWAT team. We got to call the police. He has went in there, and we don't send our children to school to be bullied by nobody.
No. now. They did mention one girl was able to get a restraining order. Her mom and to the courthouse, I believe Stacy supported them. Very traumatic in terms. They went to court to have to get one because he fought the, it was 25 additional people who were trying, but they said no for whatever reason.
Can you tell the listening audience right now that we're live streaming worldwide, Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter show, what took place on that day when this trustee went into the cheerleading class when they were practicing? Can you rewind and tell us specifically what happened from your perspective?
Well, these were closed doors, so parents are not allowed to have the doors locked just so they can practice and no one wanders in. So apparently he had VP let him in, and they basically then began to scold the children for harassing the minor who actually posted the video with her face. And continue doing little social media things that was inappropriate. And not once did he ever address the blackface. He went there to tell the cheerleaders to stop mocking and stop talking about it and leave it alone. And so many start crying. Others were asking if they could have their parents talk to him, and he would just nonchalant. Sure, whatever, I can, you know, no problem. And I can ban you from going on your camp trip, and I can stop the whole process of you cheering. So he was just saying a lot of things that was verbally abusive and emotionally abusive, because these girls practice, I mean, 3 and 4 hours and sometimes longer than that, all to support. You know, the school, and we get sponsors and we start our own, and so it was like, wow, how dare he say this? And so parents are very appalled and very upset about what's going on, and you know, it just needs to stop at some point. And so a lot of the parents were upset, and the kids have voiced that she should be off the team. She never got any consequences, and, you know, the team is getting threats. And so it's really serious. You know, I'm praying, I'm hoping nothing happens with injury, even on the campus at the school. And so we do have a meeting tomorrow to discuss a safety plan. It's very important because this can escalate, this could be copycats. And so I know I'm very nervous about the girls, and a lot of the parents are too. And I'm thinking it's going to be packed with parents at the games from this point on. You know.
No. Let's rewind back here. The school board trustee decided that he was going to go tell the girls to shut their mouth up and quit harassing this white little girl about the black face. But he never came to the school to address the black face conversation. Is that right?
So you probably get some other parents calling in because, I mean, it's just a few blacks on the team, and because it was a black face, it's, you know, probably haven't been addressed because the numbers are not high. And so
we have another caller. Let me see who this is. Let me see.
Right now.
Okay.
Well,
Well, here you go. Have another box.
Yeah, same people. They have nothing better to do but call and harass us. But that's white America, so it's nothing new. So have any parents pulled their children out of the Bullard and off the cheer team?
No, actually all the cheerleaders returned and stuff for two. They didn't make it for tryouts, but one of the cheerleaders that did make it, she is African American, and she's actually going to be doing home study, from my understanding. A few of the other ones that were brought into the office and spoken with the vice principal, interrogated, and treated as if they committed a crime. Many of them have chose to go to another school, attend a different school. So myself and my daughter are saying we shouldn't have to make that decision to go to another school. And so I'm real nervous, again, as I say, because you really don't know what's on people's minds and, you know, what they may do. So this right here is a struggle for me to compromise in terms of what's right, what's wrong. I can't change the way someone feels about another culture or race. And my family is in fear that why am I letting her stay at Bullard? But it's herself and one other black girl on the team that's on the JV team. And so it's almost like that moral support for one another. So I was a little emotional tonight as I spoke because, you know, it can happen, you know. Someone can get killed. Someone can get injured. It's happening nationwide. Behind racism.
Well, you know, I was reading a lot of the different posts about this situation, and some people were saying that the man is racist. Some people were saying he has mental illness. Some people were saying that, you know, he needs some type of medical help. Do anybody know why he was? Was he discharged from the army or military? Do anybody know that? Or,
you know, he still isn't disclosing that information. It came up tonight. You know, a lot of people are stating that they have military family members and they would never approach kids in that manner, anyone in that manner. And he's not upholding his responsibility as a veteran, nor the board of trustees. That is an inappropriate way to conduct himself. And so, he begins to blame others, but he never takes ownership of his own behavior. You went up into the room. No one, you know, really encouraged you. And they did say, now he did. The superintendent told him to do what he needed to do. Now, he said that out loud in the session today. I had to leave when he was talking to pick my daughter up from cheer practice. Again, my daughter still wants to stay on the team, and for me, it's like I think that's her way of saying, you know, I'm standing up for myself. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not running from this situation. And so, but I am worried because, again, the safetyness. And so we're going to have this discussion tomorrow and see what type of action plan because it's open, you know, when they're cheering, it's open to the public, and they did say that they can't keep them from public meetings, anything that's public, they can't keep them from it. They went on to discuss other things that as well, and, you know, he's what they couldn't do, and so, you know, so everyone said, why don't you just do a recall? Furthermore, why don't you just resign? He doesn't want to. He's not. He's allowing his ego to get in the way. And he simply really don't think he did anything wrong. He really, truly don't. He don't see any of the errors or mistakes that he made from day one, you know, with the other incident. So it's, you know, as you sit there and speak on the mic, he smirks. He has a smile continuously, which is inappropriate socially. Why are you smiling when people are emotional and sharing their concerns? So that's very awkward.
Let me ask you. So basically, you're saying that taxpayers are voicing their opinions, concerns, and to be disrespectful, he is sitting there with a smirk on his face, laughing or whatever you may be doing. What is the other board members are saying right now about? I know you had to leave, but. What is the body language? I know one board member asked for his resignation, which we know that legally, you know. But I was concerned about why the whole board did not ask for his resignation. That would have been more of a powerful statement, even though I know that they don't have the power to do that. But clearly.
You know, they did tonight. They said, you know, we're not a part of him. You know, what he did, we don't stand for that. And there was one board member, Carol Mills, if I'm saying her name correctly. She was defending him. And
Carol Mills was defending him?
Yeah, and everyone got on her case. You know, the board, the audience, and everyone.
She means
it was
go
just
too.
Like she was pretty much defending him.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
People were really attacking her, you know, and she never did. She never denied it. She never denied it.
What did she say?
You know, so.
What did Carol Mills say?
Then they had the lawyer. So she had the lawyer come up there, and she was proposing questions. And again, he really didn't say much. It was just a worthless conversation, in a sense. And then. That's when the audience said, sound like you're on his team. She never denied it. And then others began to say, well, we're not a part of that.
But is there any specific thing
and we don't stand by it.
Was there anything specific
and
that
they said they would like to see him step down. And they would do whatever they can in their power to support him being removed.
But was there anything specific that stood out in your mind that Carol Mills said?
Hello?
I said, was there anything specific that Carol Mills said that stood out in your mind?
She just says, well, how can we really support the investigation when a lot of us were hearsay, because there's people in the community who are getting facts incorrect, and it's just, you know, firing in the community and in the media, and it's not true about us. And so what I got from tonight is that even though these girls all were feeling bullied and he was intimidating, they just kind of threw it on the rug and just, you know, said they didn't do individual investigations because they are minors and they don't really have facts. So the one girl who did pursue and go to court to get the restraining order is actually going to protect everyone, you know, in terms of if he comes so many feet at that cheer game. At their gang. So that one restraining order is really going to protect the group. Because you can get them in 100 feet. And actually, one of the one that served it, an officer of color, black, said that she served him today at 4 o'clock p.m., the restraining order.
So we have another student who's filing a restraining order against the trustee.
It's just one that they approved, and she went to court, and they served him today at 4 o'clock, and the officer got up and spoke and said she served him to death for him. She was rather happy to know that she's protecting children. So,
wow.
So what I'm saying, yeah, that particular one restraining order is really going to assist the group, because if it says 100 feet and she's cheering, of course, that's going to protect the group. They didn't go for everyone to get a restraining order. They didn't allow that.
Now, do you know why they did that?
Why they didn't allow it is because they couldn't prove that he initially attacked everyone verbally. From my understanding, he was addressing particular individuals like the JV, my daughter, no, I mean the varsity, my daughter is on JV, and then you have the freshman. But again, he didn't go in there to apologize to my daughter. He went in there because I didn't even think he knew that she exists, you know. Because if he had, I think he might have thought about it. And so he went in there to basically tell them she's on the team, nothing you're going to do about it, and get over it. And it needs to stop right now. I'm going to stop all the cheer events and activities. So he was threatening
But my question is, how can he stop the cheer team when you as a parent went and spent over $6,000 to $1,000 buying uniforms and paying for camps? How can he just come in and regulate what's going to stop and what's going to go?
Well, he can't, but the girls didn't know that. You know, so that mentally and emotionally is, you know, had them feeling some kind of way. They've tried out, they made it, they practiced, and now someone in the position that he's in comes in and bullies him and tell him what's not going to take place. So these girls got emotional and calling their parents, you know, and people are hearing him talk to the kids, and, you know, parents are outraged, you know. And the sad thing about this is I actually got the video from a community person saying, hey, did you hear the video? No one contacted me, no director, no cheer person. And what's really bothering me is the girl's mom is one of the volunteer cheer moms. And so that makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel I haven't been contacted. Even tonight, some administrators in high positions came and personally said, do you know about the meeting? And I said, I heard of it, I'm not really sure. And they said, well, we're going to let you know. Did the cheer director contact you personally? No, she hasn't. And I don't know why, but she hasn't. Now, I will go back to say that the new principal, we had a meeting last week to discuss some of our concerns, the black programs, clubs, organizations, and also, and I went back again with the safety. So, safety, what is the safety plan for my child? Because I almost wasn't going to let her go on the camp. Because, you know, I didn't know, you know, if he's able to, you know, drive up there and, you know, have accessibility to that. So, because everything is so quiet, you don't want to say anything. And sometimes that's bad because, you know, you're not letting another person know anything. And so I just been really in the dark. I've never felt so out of the loop. And to be for my daughter to be a vital part of this whole situation. And this was really, it went nationwide. This was on Good Morning America. So it's a big deal.
So basically, let's do an overview. Basically, this school board trustee in January went out to the school district and grabbed a child, grabbed a child by the arm, by his backpack. Now, did you see that video?
I seen some of it, and I was disturbed by it.
Okay, so he grabbed the backpack and the child. The child pushed him off of him. He squares off on the kid, right, and, like, trying to pull him somewhere. Now, I told the listening, I'm a former school board trustee myself, so I know policy. School board members do not have the right to direct any staff. They have no right to go on the campus and tell a principal what to do. They have no right to go and tell a coach what to do. That is all done by protocol of a principal on a campus. The superintendent is the one who runs the day-to-day agenda, day-to-day duties with all of the principals and vice principals and et cetera. This school board trustee was out of line, period. Okay?
Yeah.
Period. And had he been black, he would have been in jail right now. You know why? He would have been in jail for assault. Now, the interesting part for me is that the district attorney, Smith Camp, did not file charges when he assaulted the kid in January.
Right, right.
I mean, so there seems to be a double standard here when white people do something versus black people.
Right. And they're saying he has a pattern, so because he haven't been reprimanded, he continues to feel like he can, you know, get away. And at the meeting tonight, they were saying you're not in the military, and even if you feel things should be handled in that manner, you're not in the military. You have to answer to a board. You have to answer to parents. You cannot take upon yourself to make your own rules. You know, this is unacceptable. Again, you know, they asked when he began to speak if everyone can allow him to speak. Some people got up and left because he talked about everything but the blackface in Boston, you know, incident. He feels he did nothing wrong. He really does. Feel like he didn't do anything wrong. He doesn't have a conscience at all. You know, emptiness.
This is unbelievable. Here we are as taxpayers. Here we are as taxpayers living in the second highest poverty city in the world. Here we are sitting in a community where we have almost 80% of low-income lunches every day. Here we are living in a city where we have children going to school to learn that's being attacked, that's being talked down to, you know.
Right.
Parents are not involved, you know, closed room conversation, children crying, and there's no accountability. I don't get it.
No.
I don't understand. But
and they're trying to,
go ahead.
They're trying to get signatures for individual, at least up to 10 signatures of people who don't mind revealing their addresses. And so I think they were able to get them, according to safety. But again, you know, they're not really talking, but there's some things that have happened to a black parent for being active and being forceful. Someone went into her home, opened her doors and garage door while she was away from her home, trying to put fear in her. So Monday's going to be very challenging when these cheerleaders are in their uniforms. I think my daughter just mentioned that they're not going to wear the uniforms at school. school only the first week because they're not really sure if there's going to be any attacks or violence. So
let me say this, Ms. Ingram. One of the things that in our history as black people, as you know, is that maybe someone or a parent or community leader should talk about a boycott. When we start talking about boycotts, right, you know, have anybody ever went to a senior, I mean, to a high school football game and there's no cheerleader? And there's no cheerleader. It's like eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with no peanut butter. All you guys jelly. And so you have to have the cheerleaders with the football team. But to stand in solidarity to say, you know what, we're not, until this man resigns, we have the power not to perform. I think that will send a stronger message to the district. That'll send a stronger message to the trustee. That'll send a stronger message to all of the Bullard people who come out to watch the Bullard football game. Because they have a lot of support. But if the cheerleaders will say, you know what? We're not going out there. One, we fear for our life. Two, a stray bullet could come from anywhere because this girl who painted the black face is still on our team that we don't want on our team. So I think the cheerleaders have a lot of power, okay, at this point. You know, they may not have the power to go and do the recall, but they have power there on that campus right now as I speak to say, you know what, the first game, we're not going out there. How about that? Well, why are you not going out there? Because we want him to resign. Until he resigns, then we go back out there.
Right.
So,
there needs to be willing to do the cheer parents. I mean, I'm definitely leaning that way because we haven't been hurt. My child and myself haven't been hurt. So the message to me is, no, we don't need to cheer. If you can't respect our wishes and have this girl removed because of a threat to the entire body, the whole group, something's wrong with this situation. And so tomorrow we will be having a meeting basically discussing the safety plan because I did make it clear. If something happens to my child, I know where I'm coming. And I will have attorney present. And this will go nationwide. You better have something in plan. I don't, if you have security guards, police, whatever you need to do, you better have some security for these girls since you know that they're a threat.
Well, you know, I think one, and that'll take a lot of courage for the young ladies to not dress up or dress up and just sit in the stands.
Right.
I mean, that will be such a powerful, I mean, that type of stuff there you're talking about what Dr. King would do, Rosa Parks would do.
Yeah.
Okay? Because when you understand the bus boycott that Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King organized, they told all black people, ain't nobody riding a bus. So what did that do? That hit that city economically. If the cheerleaders say, yeah, we're going to dress up, but we ain't cheering, we're going to sit in the stands. We're going to die, and we want him to resign. Now, if the media would catch those signs of those babies doing that, trust me, those babies got power out there, and they just need to know they got power.
Yeah. Again, three African American girls on the freshman team. On the JV. Four black girls on the, I guess, five. Because they didn't, they don't have the JV. They don't have the freshman team, excuse me. So they have three freshmen and two freshmen and three JVs on the JV team. And then what do they have on the freshman, on the varsity?
One.
The numbers are low. The numbers are low.
You know, just sitting here thinking that, you know, to fight for justice is just a blueprint in the black community because all of our ancestors have fought, bled, and died. Maybe since we don't have the numbers, and I'm talking about the cheerleading numbers, as many whites as can be cheerleading squad, because my son, he was a cheerleader for Central West, and Bullard came over to play us. Of course, we beat him real bad. But anyway, that's another topic. But my point is that, and my son led the cheer squad off. But anyway, that's a different conversation. But, and he's going to Southern University. But anyway, let me get back to this story.
All right.
Maybe we need, or I need to organize, we'll see, that's going to be tough, but let me say it anyway. Maybe we need to organize, or maybe I need to call some real black men, because I've been trying to get some black men to stand with me in Fresno, and I just can't find any on one hand, to tell you the truth. But maybe we need to organize our brothers to go out to the Bullard game and take our posts and watch and make sure that nothing happens to our baby since the school district can't figure it out.
Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, because at this point, I'll be in the audience and just praying nothing happens, you know. So it'd be interesting to see what tomorrow's going to happen because they're talking about.
What you have to understand is that even if this guy, the trustees, what I'm talking about, don't even come to the game, this young lady is still cheerleading.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there could be other folks upset at her, and this is what the school district is not looking at.
No,
they're upset at her because she did a racial thing, movement activity towards black people, and so we're going to deal with her. But yet, there are other children and people in the crossfire.
Yeah. So I don't want that to happen, and that's why I'm sharing and voicing, you know, we have to have a safety plan. So I brought that up because, again, because I am black, I know the significance and the importance of, you know, the march and sitting out and making a stand and being heard, and I don't understand why it wasn't a situation of sitting out, but, you know, it's performing. Well, no, you need to send a message out. This is unacceptable, but I believe many parents, many students on the squad that are white fear retaliation. You know, they're across, they're, you know, they say, They spoke up and said they didn't want our team, and he came out and told them, you need to be quiet. So he bullied them. The ones who did, you know, speak up and said they were uncomfortable. They even had a staff, two staff come out with this peace resolutional justice program, and they met with the daughters and mothers and, you know, we're going to, you know, listen to the kids and make the decision. And I thought because she was still on the team. The majority of the girls didn't want her to be off the team. I find out at the last board meeting that was untrue. So they didn't really listen to our children nor the parents. They still allowed it to be.
So the whole year, the entire cheerleading team gonna have a cloud over them the whole year.
And I'm gonna tell you, you know, I don't want nothing to happen, but I guarantee you, if something happens, I know my child won't be performing again under any circumstances. I mean, that doesn't make sense. Something happens.
Well, let me ask you this. When is the first football game?
I don't have the schedule. What's the first date of the football game? What's the first date?
I don't know.
Okay, we don't have the calendar in front of us.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try my best, the best that I can, to find some not scared black men to go with me to the first Bullard football game and make sure that our babies are protected.
Right.
Now, that's going to be a challenge trying to find some black men at Fresno. But I'm going to look under cars, bushes, everywhere for them. And then if I can't get black men, then I'm going to get black women.
Okay.
And we're going to come out there and solidarity to show our babies that we care about them.
Okay.
But we're at the end of our show here, and I just want to thank you for calling in, and
August the 30th. We're at the football and veterans. So I believe that's the one it'll be, and I'll update you.
Okay, do that. All right, we have to end our show. We just want to thank everybody for tuning in to Dr. Harry Black Lives Matter show, the resolution to censor Trustee Terry. And look like everything failed. Look like school board can't do anything. He's laughing on the dice, laughing at the community. The girls, the cheerleaders want this young lady off the team. She's still on the team. Our babies are scared. Parents are scared for the safety of their children. And now, we're going to see if we can organize some folks to go to the first Bullard football game to protect our babies and let the Bullard community know we don't put up with that and homie don't like that. And that's how the young people say it. Thank y'all for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be bringing it live again. Please share the show with your friends and everyone. This is Dr. Harris, Black Lives Matter Show. I'm out. 21st century revolutionary. No justice, no peace. Power to the people. Whose streets? Our streets.